I'm Amy, sex educator, sex and relationship coach, and co-owner of PurePleasureShop.com.
And I'm April, sex toy maven, VP of Hot Octopus, and I've dedicated my life to the business of sex. We're two people with a passion for educating and inspiring shame-free conversations about sex and relationships.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Revolution. Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code SHAMELESSSEX at purepleasureshop.com.
You are listening to a pleasure podcast. For more from our sex podcast collective, visit pleasurepodcasts.com.
Well, hello, everyone.
Hi, everybody.
Welcome to the Shameless Sex Podcast. Let me paint the picture for you in this exact moment. I am sitting in my underwear in the sunshine. April is actually wearing a nice bathing suit. We're both wearing awesome visors like Golden Girls because we are Golden Girls. She's actually drinking out of a cup that is Sophia from Golden Girls as we speak. And we are laying in the sun recording this intro because it's a beautiful day and she has a cold. And while she tested negative for COVID, we're still being cautious. So here you have it. Still recording.
Safety first, Amy.
Yes, I'm safe third.
Safety first. I
go with first.
Third. Really? Who says safety third?
Like skydivers and shit.
Oh. I wonder what the first two things are.
Fun. Jump out of that fucking plane.
Oh, really?
Skills. I don't know. Safety, though. Yeah. So we're being safe. And we actually recorded this episode today, all on Zoom, all online, where April and I were in our own respective houses. And so we're pretty sure the audio is going to be great. We don't know yet because we have not listened. And generally, we are always together.
And I just want to give a disclaimer. I did drink cough syrup for the first time because I have had a cough and I did not want to be disruptive on the show. So, but I haven't drank cough syrup in so long that it was really interesting. It's a very...
She's like, I'm sorry, it's a cough syrup.
It is. The acetaminophen or something. I was like, woo. Yeah. I felt like I was skydiving.
That's exactly what skydiving feels. Well, that woo, yeah, the woo sound, that makes sense. And our guest was awesome. Is awesome.
She's
Alex.
Really cool.
Also known as Go Ask Alex. Alex, well, you heard already a little bit in the bio. Well, no,
well,
you're about
you
to.
Will.
Sorry, you will. You have not yet. You're about to because April will be reading it. And Alex dives deeper into their story, to her story about her journey from being a adult performer and midway through her career, essentially. Well, she already had some issues with what was undiagnosed. She actually is now someone with a disability, and you'll hear more about what that is and how that's affected her life. And she continues to do adult film. So she shares more about what that's like, too, in the transition. So we're speaking to sex, porn, disability,
dating. I also want to say happy Pride.
Happy Pride!
Because it is... Tomorrow, well, we are recording this on May 31st, 2022, and tomorrow is the first day of celebrating LGBTQIA+.
Woo! Nailed it.
There are a few more letters that are associated with that that keep joining, which is beautiful. I just looked it up the other day because I always like to refresh myself about what the plus and more, and that's always evolving, and we want to give our shout out and love to everyone that celebrates and is an ally or is just part of this beautiful month to celebrate all the folks around the world or in the U.S., wherever it is. We were asking if this was a national...
I think it's more of a national thing, but there's different cities. Like San Diego celebrates in July, right?
Right.
And like some
okay.
places, San Francisco's June, so everywhere is different. But yes, I think it's more like someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's more of a U.S. thing.
But it's a Pride month to create awareness and just celebrate.
Yeah, celebrate, create awareness, learn. We actually have a beautiful moment in this podcast where we talk about pronouns and have a moment where we're like, oh, let's have a conversation about this. So at any rate, that will be, you will listen, you will learn. And the episode is actually really insightful, entertaining, interesting, like such an interesting perspective from Alex and how she has come to own her sexuality and her body with this kind of more like newfound, I'd say, but like even though it's been something that's been hanging out as a internal problem in her body, it's now something she's owned. She's accepted. She's found self-love. So it's a lot about that too. It's like talking about all these different aspects from sex and porn and disability to also how to love yourself in a bigger, better way. And a lot of people have body image stuff, disabilities or not. So anyways,
she's cool. Yeah. She's a badass.
Like, I kind of want to hang out with her.
She's well-spoken.
And she's Canadian.
And she's Canadian.
Oh, we won't do any accents though. She did her own Canadian accent. Okay, so we're not responsible for that.
Well, she just spoke as she was herself.
But then later she really went into the Canadian.
Yes, she did. She gave us a little bit of that taste.
A taste.
Of the deep Canadian.
Of Canadian. All right, are you ready for a taste of a sex question?
I am.
Here we go. I'm a vulva owner who has been married to my husband for 18 years. We have a super passionate sex life. We recently started to try pegging, and I could use some advice. I'm having a hard time because I'm so short. I can't seem to keep up the position for a very long time, and I can't get a good rhythm going, and I don't really have that stamina yet. He hasn't been able to ejaculate from pegging yet because it gets too uncomfortable, and then we usually end up doing something else. Any tips for this short girl trying to enter the world of pegging?
So first, let's tell everyone what pegging is.
Pegging. P-E-G-G-I-N-G. Did I do it right?
Yes, I think you
April's a spelling bee queen.
Correctly.
Thank you. Pegging is generally speaking when a vulva-owning individual is topping or penetrating a penis-owning individual anally with a strap-on harness with a dildo. And that is what my guess is what this person is speaking to. And that would make sense. That height could be an issue. I didn't even think about that. I've only ventured down the experiential field of pegging.
So is this person bent over and then she's...
So we don't know the answer because that's what I was going to say. So we usually when people think of someone screwing someone from behind, you think of like a doggy style thing, right? Mm-hmm. But if we're talking about the prostate, it's closer to the belly button. So that if your dildo is curved up and you're doing doggy style, it's the wrong angle. Mm. Right? Like everyone's different, but if you're using dildos, the prostates are generally speaking, I'm pretty sure almost always on the anterior wall. So like closer to your belly and belly button, as opposed to the other side of the wall, the rectum. And same thing with G-spot, right? So you want the dildo or penis to be curved in that direction. So if we're doing a doggy style position, it'd probably hit it, but it's not like the ideal position to hit it. Now, a more ideal position to hit it, just like a G-spot, right, is a little more missionary, a little more you're laying down. So here we go. Example, I'm fucking April. We're doing pegging because, you know, I want to fuck
Who's
her
pegging
ass.
Who?
I'm pegging April.
Oh.
And she's laying down. I got my nice old harness on. I love spare parts, by the way. If you haven't checked out spare parts, you should try out their harnesses. They're amazing. Oh, and guess what? We have them at PurePleasureShop.com. I particularly love the jock harness, but if you want the underwear style, the tomboy or the Sasha are super cozy.
They are
and
the
Sasha's
best.
Sasha's really
They're
sexy.
The best harnesses on the market, though. Mm-hmm. They're beautiful.
They're amazing. They're machine washable, and you get 15% off with coupon code shamelesssex at purepleasureshop.com. Support my mom. Hey, mom. Oh, I'm pretty sure my mom likes harnesses, by the way, by spare parts. Anyways, enough about my mom. So, missionary, you're laying down. Maybe your legs are like bent towards your body.
I'm a penis owner.
No.
In this situation?
Yeah, sure. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yes. Because we're talking about the prostate here. Yes. So you have a cock. April has a cock now. And I have a dildo on. I don't have a cock, but I have
a double-ended dildo? Or are you wearing... I'm just trying to set the scene
here.
I could
have a Fieldo. I could have the Share vibe.
So you're just having a double-ended dildo in, and you're penetrating me missionary style. You're on
top of
me.
With a spare parts harness.
Okay.
And and you're on your back. And you might have either your legs up, like with your feet flat, or maybe they're even up almost in like a happy baby kind of position, like a yoga thing. Or maybe your like legs are relaxed. But I think you need to have your legs propped up a little bit, or maybe all the way up, like that more like a right angle vertical where your feet are by my head. Whatever's more comfortable for you. And in this position, my dildo is now curved up to meet your prostate, but I'm penetrating you anally with a lot of lube, uber lube, everyone, uber lube. And in this position, so when we're talking about height, I don't know how much height applies here, right? Like if I, so I'd be on my knees, you're on your back. So you're flat on the surface and I'm penetrating you and I'm on my knees and like, you know, and then I put a pillow under you if I need to position you up more, which usually is the case. Actually, you need to prop the ass up more to get to the spot. So, and that's when like liberator wedges come into play. But generally speaking, I'm pretty sure that if you're on your knees, height likely wouldn't be the thing. It's more when you're standing that height becomes a problem.
Well, here's what I think. I don't know what this person, what they are speaking to, if they've ever tried that positioning. When I have ever thought about pegging or how it works in my brain, I've always thought about me as myself wearing something and the person that I would be pegging would be in the doggy style position. So maybe this is the perfect
advice.
That's
what everyone thinks about anal. They always think doggy style, and it's actually kind of the worst way to start a doggy style.
So that could be the advice, though. That's
position.
Like nailing it right there. Nailed it.
Just nailed it. Nailed it. And it's even that just applies to all anal sex. Like doggy style is a very deeply penetrative
position. I rarely do anal sex via doggy style positioning. Sometimes
when I'm
but it's not my preferred.
Super warmed up, like I can go there. But if I'm not and I need like the slower penetration, it's missionary. Some form of me on top of them or them facing me. But like, it that just goes with the curvature of the body. So yes. So I don't know if we answer your question because I have no idea how tall you are. But I think that if you're on your knees and your partner is laying flat with their legs up or not, and you put pillows under them or not to make it the right angle, you will be able to hit the prostate. And the part about them not ejaculating from pegging, also, just so you know, it's a lot, right? Like ejaculation might not happen. And sometimes or oftentimes with pegging, they also require some other stimulation on their cock or balls or something at the same time to hit the orgasm peak.
And that's one thing that I wanted to address. Maybe the prostate doesn't have to be the goal at this point. Maybe you can explore just what it is. And from there, you can explore how to tap into your husband's body and see when or if and explore the prostate in other ways with your fingers to find out kind of the location. And then you can learn when you have the strap on your body, how to access that. So more exploration is always encouraged.
For sure. And if you go to our website and you just look up the word pegging or prostate, you will find multiple episodes on this topic. And not all of them might be about pegging if it's about prostates, but pegging's in that conversation. So
absolutely,
go check it out and learn more. And
all right, are you ready for a bio?
Bio time.
Go Ask Alex, 2020's XBiz Cam Award for Best Inked Model and 2021's XBiz Best Cam Model is an on-screen performer and sex educator with the distinction of being the industry's first ever ostomate. And I'm going to say ostomate.
Is it ostomate? Ostomate. Yeah.
Ostomate or ostomate. Since receiving a life-changing surgery in 2019, while she launched her adult career in 2014 as a web cam model and online companion, she has since taken the opportunity to use her high-profile platform to advocate for disabled and underrepresented bodies in adult media. To learn more, visit goaskalex.com.
All right, everyone, it is interview time. And today we are here with Alex, also known as Go Ask Alex. And this is an interesting one because April and I are not side by side. And I'm already feeling withdrawals. I'm like, where's my chip? But I can see her on the screen.
Are you jealous of our background studio right now? Because it's so kick-ass.
Yeah, but my background has an Uberlu bottle on it.
Yeah, it does.
And there's some really pretty flowers. And also, like, my whole decor you picked out. So it's essentially
your
house.
And it's a little crooked. One of those is a little crooked. I'm going to have to come over and fix it.
All right, I got to go. Podcast pause. Going to go fix. Just kidding. For all of you listening, we think this will be on YouTube. We are starting to put most of our recordings on YouTube if you want to see the actual video of it. And this might be an interesting way to see the video. So I can't promise it will be on YouTube, but I think so. Alex is an awesome, wonderful human being here and has an incredible life story to share with you that includes working in the adult porn performer educator industry, as well as a personal life story. Did I ever say personal and professional life story, and continues to be a really important person in the field of being a performer and sex education. So you already heard a little bit in the bio about Alex, but Alex, can you please tell us a little bit more about how you got to where you are today in the field of sexuality? And this can be both your personal world and your professional world, whatever it goes. And then we'll do tangents and all kinds of stories after that.
Yeah. Well, all right. Well, thank you for the lovely intro. You've really gassed me up, and now I'm definitely going to disappoint because I'm not all that. But I will tell you a little bit about, I guess, how I got to where I am now. So currently I'm an adult entertainer. I make porn. I have an OnlyFans. I sell videos, that kind of thing, take nudes. And I've actually been doing that sort of work for, I want to say about 8 years, 2014, which makes me feel really old when I put it like that. But I started by doing live webcam shows and exploring that part of the industry, being a webcam model. And then slowly over the years, I've progressed to a point where now I make videos, I take photos, and I engage one-on-one with fans online. So I've really done a lot of different types of sex work, basically everything except for stripping, because I can't dance at all. And everyone says it's not about your ability to dance, but like they haven't seen me try and dance. But I've basically done a little bit of everything. And honestly, I couldn't really imagine doing anything else at this point. Yeah, I just love it. I love what I do.
And we love what you do too. I'm learning more about you as well, which you are quite fascinating. And as Amy said, a badass in not only the film industry, but we want to talk about your journey in the adult film industry, as well as cam modeling, if you want, before, during, and after your surgery. You had a surgery, which we'd love to discuss with you. And now you're living with a disability. So can you fill our listeners in and also myself in about this journey?
Yeah. Well, I was diagnosed at the age of 10 with a type of inflammatory bowel disease. It's an autoimmune condition called ulcerative colitis. For those who aren't familiar with it, it's really similar to Crohn's disease. So it's a pretty aggressive disease that attacks your intestinal tract. Like for me, it was my colon specifically. And I was sick all the way back from early childhood and infancy. But around the age of 10 was when we sort of started to realize, oh, something is really not normal here. And then that was the beginning of many years in and out of the hospital and on all different kinds of really powerful medications, drugs that were really, really bad for my body. Mm. And obviously a lot of emotional and mental stress that came with that as well. So that was my whole life. That was before I did sex work. That for me, I've been sick for more of my life than I haven't been. So it's a pretty big part of my identity. But in 2019, it reached a point where I just couldn't live anymore with how sick I was. And the only course of action left was a major surgery called a total abdominal colectomy, which is fancy terminology to essentially mean that I was disemboweled surgically. And I now have a permanent medical device instead of a colon. So that's my life. It's been a pretty drastic change, which I'm sure you can imagine. My life kind of did a full 180, but somehow I found a way to make it work with sex work and in my life and with my lifestyle, and not only make it work, but also thrive.
Can you talk about that a little bit? Just how did this change your or shift your sexuality? Because that's really incredible. Number one, that you're able to perform. And please, I would love to hear more.
Yeah. Well, I guess for me, probably as a lot of young people, young women, I experienced a lot of insecurity growing up and some issues with self-confidence. And regardless of whether or not you have a disability, I think that's something that everyone struggles with. But for me, I always had a lot of resentment towards my body, towards the way that I look, towards my illness. But when I went through this major transition, it was almost like I was able to let some of that go, because my body had worked so hard to keep me alive and try and make me healthy. And after everything that I went through in the hospital, it was just like, I couldn't resent my body anymore. I was just so grateful for what my body was doing behind the scenes when I wasn't aware of what it was doing at all. So there, I guess there's a level of gratitude and acceptance that came as a result of the surgery in a weird way. But also I'm really stubborn. So when the expectation is, oh, you're going to be insecure, you're not going to continue doing your work, I love nothing more than to prove people wrong. Like if someone says, no, I can't believe you're doing that. That's so gross. You know, you shouldn't be getting naked with your body like that. That's the surefire way to get me naked more often and louder. So I guess part of why I do what I do is just spite.
Love that.
In a way. Yeah.
I think that, yeah. So it's like you got a little rebel in you that has learned, maybe the rebel's always been in there, but also it's like, yeah. So you tell me I can't do this thing. Oh, I can do this thing. And what a powerful journey to be on, to see the challenges as also like a blessing in a way, or also see the strengths that are on the other side or surrounding the challenges, right? Like there's this experience that you have gone through for many years and now your life is different than it was. But I mean, all of our lives are different, but yours is very different than it was or what you maybe imagined for yourself. And yet you're able to still see like, wow, my body is fucking powerful and amazing. So a question about, and this relates to sex in general, both in porn or in, you know, in the performer world and sex with partners. How has this changed? You know, now you wear, have a device in your body at all times. You've worked, we'll talk more about the body image stuff and how you work through that, because I think that'd be valuable for people to listen to. But how has that shifted? Because you went from you, so it sounds like you were already a performer before this surgery.
Yeah, that's correct.
What does that look like?
Well, I went through a really big breakup, I guess, just a few months before my surgery. So I kind of went through all of this suddenly on my own. And so there was a lot of fear associated with someone seeing me naked for the first time and what that would be like. And because there's no real sex education in the hospital when I'm surrounding these kinds of surgery, nothing available, no one to coach you on this. I just felt like the best idea for me would be to take matters into my own hands. So I wanted to just go out there and have sex as soon as possible to just get it out of the way so I couldn't worry about it. So I texted someone who I was pretty sure wouldn't say no. I'd never slept with them before, but I thought, you know, this person, from what I know of them, they probably won't say no if I ask them to have sex. And he didn't say no. Yeah, he was safe. I didn't feel like I was going to be rejected. And we hooked up. And of course, it wasn't particularly memorable sex, but it... I hope he doesn't hear this. Sorry.
Sorry. It was great. Shameless sex, though.
It was great for me. Yeah.
It was good.
It served a purpose for me because it was like I had gotten the first one out of the way and I didn't have to worry about it anymore. So for me, the solution was almost just putting myself out there as soon as possible. And same with the internet. I took a nude photo of myself and I put it on Twitter to my 25 or 30,000 followers. And I just said, this is what I look like now. You know, I'm strong and I survived this surgery and here's my naked body. And I mean, the outpouring of love was just undescribable. So like so many people that I knew or that I didn't knew, strangers were giving me all this love and support, and really putting myself out there like that was a huge part of being able to be confident. And then in my personal relationships as well, just approaching it as when someone first met me, I'd say, hi, I'm Alex. You know, this is the disability that I have. I'd lay it out on the table. So there was nothing to hide and there was no shame because that's just such an important, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I would have to put it all out there. And that gave me almost no opportunity to be ashamed.
Mm-hmm. Touching on that for a second. So you also have this courageous sense of self, which I can see and bearing witness to that it's admirable. And some folks might not be there yet. They might not know how to get there. And so if they have had maybe not this surgery, but they have something that with their own bodies that they're uncomfortable with. And I don't know, their sex can happen in so many ways, right? We don't know what exactly could be happening. What do you think could help move people forward? Is it just not giving a fuck and being like, here it is and putting it all out there? Or do you think it's sort of doing a lot of self-love work and positive affirmations until you just kind of say, I'm me, this is me, I want to have pleasure too? Do you have any tips for folks out there? Because this is so important and so many people are walking around with things and I know they're not comfortable in their own bodies, and whether it's from surgeries or something that happened at birth. So I would love to hear from you what you think about that.
Yeah. Okay. That's a lot. Lots of questions. So I'm going to try and.
Sorry. That's what I do.
No, you're great. I have ADHD. So I'm like, I will.
So does April.
Okay. Okay. I was like, yeah, I relate to what's going on here. So I'll start a sentence really strong in one direction and then it weaves off and then it kind of pitters out, and I'm, what was I even trying to say over here? I don't know. So just
same.
With me.
I just did that to you. So if you okay. Yes, we can keep it great. Focused.
Yeah, now and I'm now like, there's a squirrel over there somewhere. A squirrel, and then you're like, oh, a squirrel. Okay.
Yeah,
we joke with April. We're like, a squirrel.
But I'm like, yeah. Okay. What was your question? Hold on. Let me get back there. Okay. So yeah, I think that I mean, for me, from an early age, I've done lots and lots of therapy. I am mentally ill, physically ill. So I've done lots of therapy, lots of journaling. I've done lots of dialectical behavioral therapy specifically has been really helpful for me. And there's lots of great resources for that. Like on YouTube, Marsha Linehan has tons of videos that are super helpful. But, you know, aside from going to therapy, because that's not something that is accessible to everyone financially or otherwise, one of the things that at least that I see is that a lot of people think, you know, that they have to love themselves and that's the achievement. That's what you're working towards. And that's, you know, that may be true, but it doesn't happen overnight. I think that for me, it was really important to focus on rather than loving myself, because I couldn't fake love for myself where I didn't have it. It was focusing on just accepting myself. So yes, learning to love myself, but just accepting myself. One of my affirmations is I accept myself and I'm learning to love myself, because I think it is really a process and there is no way to just love yourself overnight and just feel confident and just feel, you know, totally grounded in your body and proud and yeah, confident, like I said. So I think that focusing on just acceptance and just small milestones for me helped me to be really successful with that. If that sort of answers the question, I think I kind of maybe went in a different direction.
But no, you answered it. And also if there's folks out there that you are vulnerable with, and I'm speaking you as the proverbial, all of us, right? That doesn't accept you for who you are. They're rejecting you or they're maybe saying something that isn't nice. I think that whole like kind of the double fuck you that you kind of said in the beginning, mm-hmm. like, really, you don't think, I think that is another approach. Does it have to be hateful? I just think that more love for each other is the best route to take. And the acceptance is bigger than love a lot of times. So
yeah, I'm like, so the love for each other is, and empathy is important. So be spiteful and yeah, love yourself.
Yeah. Be your inner rebel. Like, well, yeah. Fuck you all. I'm going to love myself anyways. And actually I was just writing this. So April and I are writing a book and I was actually saying something about this that is not directly from me. It may be from Emily Nagowski from Come As You Are or somewhere, or maybe someone else. It's about body image though. And about this whole thing of like, you have to really fully love yourself before you can love someone else is a huge ask. Like it's a really big ask to be like, okay, I love every part of me. You know, like, and yeah. Like you said, not
it's
overnight.
Unrealistic.
It's not realistic and definitely not overnight. And we may live our whole lives not liking certain parts of ourselves, but you know, how can we accept ourselves as we are in this moment or as a whole and maybe learn to love certain parts
yes.
or like certain parts or something.
And parts just accept, accept where you're at and be okay with that.
Well, where you're at is where you're at, right? That's yeah. now, right?
And like mindfulness is a big part of that, right? Not thinking about, oh, things will be better next year when, you know, when my hair is grown out or when I'm finished school or when I get that tattoo. It's like, I am just maybe not stoked with where I'm at right now, but I accept and I'm okay with being where I'm at. And that's, I think that's honestly the most helpful thing, at least for me.
Definitely. No, I 100% agree with that. And April and I are big preachers of mindfulness. Our listeners are like, stop talking about meditation.
Oh no, but, sorry.
Yeah, no, talk about it because it's really important. And just, you know, there's a difference between like, so we can accept where we're at right now. Like right now fucking sucks balls or just, it's just terrible, whatever.
Sure
I don't like it. Oh yeah, it does. Right. Maybe right now. Yeah. Like I don't like right now, but right now is happening. Sure, I can fight it or I can work to shift right now, which some people would choose to disappear, disassociate, escape, you know, a more beneficial route. Sometimes you need to do that. So
yeah,
if
or it's not
that,
even a decision you make. It's just, yeah, it just happens. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, you know, and a more beneficial long-term route is to actually work on those pieces and those parts of ourselves. But I guess like what I'm hearing you say is the ultimate goal is not to like, just come into this point of like, I'm perfect. you know, it's to find these tools and these ways to just accept you as you are, knowing that you're going to change every day anyways, like where you are today is going to be different in a year anyways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I'm curious about the dating world, because you said about disclosing your disability to future partners. I mean, this is even in the dating world where people are like, should I tell them that I have adult children? You know, I'm 45 and I have two kids who are in their 20s. But like, I mean, we're talking about disability. You know, is this something that you would put on your profile if you were on Tinder or Bumble, or do you wait to like the first date, or and advice for people who might be experiencing something similar?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think the first thing that's really important to know with that is that not everybody can wait until the first date, or not everybody, like some people have invisible disabilities, some people have disabilities that are very visible, or they use mobility devices. So not everybody really has that option, or I guess it's in some ways a privilege to, like, for lack of a better word, hide their disability if they want to. Like, I don't have to, nobody needs to know that I have a disability if I don't want to walk around telling people, you know, it's hidden under my clothes. But not everybody has that option if they want it. So I think that's not something that I can really understand or relate to. But I do think it's important to mention when talking about, you know, whether or not you're going to disclose your disability, because some people just don't have a choice there. They have to disclose it because it's, you know, the first thing you see about them, or the first thing that some people might see if they encounter them or notice. But for me, yeah, I typically like to just put it out there. It helps me to weed out people who, I mean, in a way, it helps me weed out people who maybe wouldn't be accepting of who I am, which is great, weed them out. In another way, I think it actually helps me to find people who are really in line with what I want. Maybe I'll find someone else who also has an ileostomy, or someone who has a different disability, or someone who, whatever else it might be that I'm sharing. I think that that's an opportunity to connect over something. And also, that's part of my confidence. So for me, after surgery, being able to go to like an event or a party pre-pandemic, obviously. And when people ask, you know, who are you? What do you do for work? What's your life about? And I'm able to say, oh, I'm a sex worker with a disability. Like, immediately, I feel so confident and strong and good about myself having to say that, rather than trying to hide who I am, my disability, my work. Those are, you know, those are huge parts of my identity for me. And it doesn't feel good to hide that or lie about it. So yeah, for me, just coming right out of the gate with, this is who I am, this is what I do, that's part of, I think, what gives me confidence in my life today.
So in terms of your career, do you think that the roles you're offered, are those different? The roles you take on, are those different? Did your career change in any sense before and after the surgery?
So before the surgery, I was primarily doing live streaming, so webcam modeling. And then post-surgery, I've sort of shifted away from that for a few reasons. Like, my energy levels are different. And, you know, I get really arthritic pain if I'm sitting for too long, and that kind of fun stuff. But I don't work with a lot of large production companies. I would love to, but it has been difficult to find some production companies who will work with me. Like, I found directors who would love to work with me, performers who'd love to work with me, but actually finding a production company to work with has been challenging. And I think that is because of the disability and the nature of my disability, and their concerns about how that would come across to the people who consume that media. So that's a bummer, but it is something that I'm that is something that is something that I'm, you know, still working towards. And I really want to find companies that I can work with. And there are some really great ones. I just filmed like an edu porn for a company called Afterglow, and it's a solo video, but that is sort of a marriage of like sex education and explicit content. So working with like smaller indie companies is definitely my jam. But for now, most of what I'm doing is just me and maybe another performer, maybe someone helps film us, but generally all performers. I have my own lights, I have my own camera, I have my own microphone, and then I edit it myself. Earlier, you were talking about your amazing editor, and I'm just thinking, like, I wish I had an editor or just someone to film it, someone to edit it, someone to market it. Like that's a lot of
work.
Me. It's all me.
Yeah. Yeah. You're doing all of it.
I do every portion of my work.
That's why. Yeah. At the end, we'll say, I find how people can work with you and support, but that's why you support, you support the performers, people. Yeah. We're not going to YouPorn and stealing their content there. Exactly. We're going and supporting them because look, this person is doing all of this work on their own.
It's wild. You know, you like the proverbial, anyone will choose to be self-employed because they want to work less, and guarantee you work so much more. You work 24 hours a day when you're self-employed. You just like, you don't, you know, people don't think of that, but
Oh yeah. No, I find myself messaging people at like 8 PM on a Saturday. I'm like, Oh yeah. I forgot that other people don't work on weekends.
Yeah.
Like I were doing, and you know, I edited our podcast for the first 4 years. Oh, by the way, today's our 5th year anniversary, by the way.
When we're recording this.
The day we're recording this, not the day it's released. So it's a week later, but it's our 5 year Shameless Sex release anniversary.
Wow. So special.
Yeah. Where I, and I was, you know, editing in GarageBand up until like less than a year ago. So anyone who's listening now, if you judge all our previous episodes, just know that I, like Alex, was working my ass off over there. And so was April in her own way in the social media world. And
in her own way. Yeah.
Well, I have a full-time job that like takes up way too much of my time.
How do you do that?
Yeah.
I thought that was like shots fired. Like,
no, I've always been the skipper, like which every captain needs a skipper or first mate. And Amy was always the captain. And I was comfortable with that in the beginning because I'm like, if you need a full-time person, I don't have enough hours in the day. And she's always been really accepting of that. And that's why we jive. But yes, it's when she said that wasn't a bad comment that she made, but in my own way, I did as much as I could. And now I am able to give a little bit more, but I still do have that full-time job. So
Amy, when we started, it still does steer the ship.
Yeah.
We didn't start to be a business though. It was a passion project. It was literally like, this sounds fun. You know, like April's going through a divorce. I'm going through heartache. It was never to be as big as it is. So, and this is such a cool thing because we love this. It's our favorite thing that we're doing, both of us. And we started with, you know, I call myself a tech nerd. Like I'm not like that. I mean, I'm tech savvy, but like April's actually a little more tech savvy.
I'm probably more tech savvy than she is. Yeah. And she was like, I want to learn this. I was like, I love to learn.
I love doing that. I love like watching the YouTube videos and how to edit a podcast and do all the stuff. And so, but it was never, you know, perfect because I don't have like all of the equipment. And that's why we finally got an editor. And April was more, you know, managing the social media aspect. And I'm not trying to downplay her at all. We just have a really wonderful dynamic that works really well together.
But that's amazing.
Yeah, just want to give praise for the people who like we all, you know, for the first 4 years, other than, well, we brought in our social media manager maybe 2 years in, but like we did everything and we still do so much. And you're doing everything over there. And I have a non-related question to this.
Yes, please.
This is not even on our question roster. I'm curious if when you said like certain companies might not want to work with you because they're worried about what people will think, or has anyone like tried to fetishize your disability, and has like, what's that experience like?
Yeah, that's something that I have experienced. That, I mean, negative comments or trolls or people fetishizing you is something that happens on the internet, regardless of whether or not you're disabled. Any person is going to receive those kinds of comments if they're putting themselves out there in the internet. Often, you know, even if they're not a sex worker, people are going to get all kinds of Instagram DMs or what have you. So it is something that I already was used to, you know, being put in situations I'm uncomfortable or receiving messages that don't make me feel good. That's not new for me, but I have, you know, had some people try to fetishize my disability. And for me, that's just not something that I'm interested in at all. Like the way that I see it is there's not enough representation of disabled people or really any diversity in mainstream porn. And the only time you do see someone who is disabled is when it is fetishized. So for me, what I really want is to see more representation that's not just a fetishization or like a what is it called? What am I trying to say? Like the butt of a joke. I think that, you know, disabled people, people with disabilities are often either the butt of the joke or fetishized. And it's like, it's not in line with what I'm trying to do here. If a person wants to fetishize themselves and that's what makes them feel good, power to them. Hell yeah. But it shouldn't be the only option for people. And currently that's sort of what it seems like, or what it has seemed like in mainstream pornography and even in just mainstream media in general, TV, movies, anything like that. It's very, I guess, white. It's very whitewashed. It's thin, white, cis women.
Symmetrical. And everything.
Symmetrical everything.
Yeah.
Able-bodied. Yeah. Cisgendered, a lot of heterosexual and even like homosexual content, like girl, girl, boy, girl, or like transgendered performers, like that's so fetishized as well. And it's always like the butt of the joke or the focus. And it's not just like, oh yes, there's two people having sex and one of them's non-binary, or mm-hmm. one of them has a disability, or one of them happens to be Black. And it's not the focus of the whole thing is like, oh my God, look, there's a Black person and a white person. And like, isn't this crazy? They're together. Like, who could imagine?
And then it gets its own category
exactly,
all of a sudden.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah. And that just, yeah. I think fetishizes things in a harmful way and just perpetuates a stigma and racism or ableism, et cetera. So yeah, it's not really in line with what I'm trying to do, but if you're a person who has a disability and you want to have it fetishized for money or otherwise, power to you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, time for a quick break. This podcast is free to you because of our amazing sponsors like Uberlube. Uberlube is a luxurious silicone lubricant that can enhance your sex and intimacy. Uberlube's unique formula is velvety, long-lasting, with no flavor or scent, and it feels absolutely incredible on the body. There are thousands of doctors recommending Uberlube to their patients because it's less likely to throw off your pH than most other lubes. So whether you want to make your hot sex even hotter, or you want to prevent dryness, take our advice and check out our favorite go-to, Uberlube.
Uberlube isn't just for sex. I use it for massage, to tame my frizzy hair, to prevent chafing, even for oral sex sessions. I love how it comes in a beautiful bottle with a pump top for easy access, appearing more like a cosmetic product so you can leave it on your nightstand shamelessly. Uberlube is without a doubt my favorite lube, and countless listeners agree, often stating, "We never knew lube could be this good." To learn why we think it's the best lube on the planet, check out uberlube.com and use code SHAMELESSSEX for 10% off and free shipping. Again, that's uberlube.com, use code SHAMELESSSEX for 10% off and free shipping. This podcast was also made possible by OMGS.com. OMGS combines scientific research of real vulva owners so you can learn shame-free techniques on how to pleasure the pussy. OMGS studied 20,000 plus people of all ages and turned the research into animated modules, short videos, and beautiful infographics that are tasteful and easy to understand. Whether you want to learn about external pleasure, internal stimulation, or techniques with toys, OMGS can help you master vulva pleasure. Let me tell you, I've been recommending OMGS to my clients for years, and it's been changing their lives because knowledge really can activate your pleasure power.
OMGS is for anyone who cares about vulva pleasure and wants to take it to the next level. OMGS can help you become a sexual strategist by equipping you with the tools you need to unlock your pleasure potential. Plus, your OMGS purchase helps fund more pleasure research. OMG, that's great! Only pay once, and these techniques are yours forever. That's right, this is not a subscription service, and you don't need to download a thing. So go to omgs.com/shameless to get 10% off when you purchase any OMGS season. Again, go to omgs.com/shameless to get 10% off right now. Time to pursue your pleasure. And now back to the show.
I have a question as well, because I obviously work with a sex toy manufacturer, and we strive to provide products for all bodies on the planet. And obviously that's really difficult. There are so many different folks mm-hmm. out there. Do you find that with your body and what's available out there for sex toys, if you use them, because I don't know if you do you feel represented? And if not, I want to
help you
be fucking represented in folks that have similar things, because I'm just wondering about how we can just help more people have pleasure no matter what their experience is and what their, you know, what their body, what their flesh and blood, what they have been given. And that's my goal too. So
yeah.
Let me know.
Yeah.
If you have one that you use. Yeah.
Definitely. Well, no, I mean, like I'm not shy at all talking about sex toys. I definitely used sex toys. I mean, the bottom, like my bed has four drawers under it. And like, I'm just dreading when my mom is going to come stay with me. Cause I don't know what I'm going to do, but it's like I get barrels full. I mean, there are so like from like 8 years of making digital content, I don't, oh my God, I have so many. But for with my disability, I don't think that there are, you know, necessarily any barriers for me with sex toys, but I know that like in terms of having arthritis, or I have something called I have fibromyalgia, and I have something called facet disease in my spine. So I just am losing the mobility in my spine, and it's just quite painful to exist or do anything. Those sex wedges, I think Liberator, some of them. Yeah. Those are fabulous. I have one of those with a little slit in it that the Hitachi can go in, or different toys can go in. But that's great. And like the Liberator blanket as well for people.
Ooh, the Fascinator.
Yeah, the Fascinator.
I have two.
We all have.
Yeah.
Like everything, basically everything you're talking about, like we have those at our house too.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know if you're familiar with someone named Andrew Gerza, who
He's been on our show. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, great. Oh, I didn't hear that one or see that one, so I'm gonna have to listen. But yeah, I know that Andrew has the I think it's called the Bump It. It's like a sex.
I forgot he was making his own product.
Yeah,
right. It's probably out now. Yes.
Yeah. I forgot about that. It's like a hands-free product where you can, I believe you can insert a toy into it or attach it, so it's accessible for people regardless of their mobility. And it looks really, really cool. And so I would definitely urge people to check that out. And I would definitely suggest you check that out and see if you can do partnerships or anything, because that's very cool. And then also curved products like the Enjoy Pure Wand, that's ergonomic, so it's going to be a lot easier for people who have maybe mobility issues. Or I mean, I don't know about you, but I've definitely been in a situation where my wrist starts to hurt if I'm like going to town for a little while.
So like, can I get something a little longer, please?
Exactly. Yeah. Someone actually sent me what is it called? I'll have to send you the name of it, but someone sent me a toy that's like that, but like way longer, like the thing is like this long, and then you attach the toy on the end. So you can, it's really interesting.
Interesting. April and I, we go to all these sex toy conventions, so we see all these toys. I have not seen that one yet. And everything you name, going to shout out to my mom, since you're like, I hope my mom doesn't open up my drawer. My mom and I saw sex toys together. We had a sex shop for 12 years.
Oh my gosh.
And that's how April got her start in the sex toy industry. And we sold the brick and mortar before the shelter in place thing happened. Thanks the that's sweet amazing. Baby Jesus. And now we're just online at purepleasureshop.com, and you can get all these things: the Fascinator, the Liberator wedges, the magic wand, the enjoy wand, pure wand, all of those things.
Oh,
also the curve from Hot Octopus with a K is another nice curve toy at purepleasureshop.com with coupon code Shameless Sex. You get 15% off. Ooh. Also, I'm so inclined to look into what Andrew Gerza, it's Gerza, right? He created, because I remember him saying that that was like something in process. And I remember when we worked at Pure Pleasure in the brick and mortar store, you know, we sold like a thigh harness. So it's a harness that goes on your thigh. You put a dildo on it so that if you don't have the ability to move your hips, you know, you could either fuck someone with your legs or they could fuck your leg. Or there's even spare parts at one point made a hand harness. There's chin harness. There's all these different things available, but it's really cool to see when companies like Andrew Gerza on his own mission, or like Hot Octopus, who actually does their research and wants to create, like, really study all bodies. And of course we can't cover all of them, but like, that's important because everyone's so different in how.
Yeah. I will say, quick note, I'm not totally sure, but I think Andrew Gerza might use they, them pronouns, but I'll double check. Cause I'm not sure if Andrew uses he, him or they, them. I feel like I recall, seeing they, something them. About they, them or so, about yes, like using those pronouns, but yeah, maybe double check on that one.
Andrew Gerza, sorry about that. And we have been corrected and I respect your, they,
I them could be
pronouns.
Wrong. Yeah. I could be wrong. So yeah.
All good. No,
Andrew's
going
to be like, what are you talking about, Alex?
so one thing, since we're talking about Andrew Gerza and Andrew, when they were on our show, we're going to have to edit that.
This is good practice because it's a good model for learning and respecting people's pronouns, even though we don't have the final answer, and that we're going to fuck up. And all we can do is correct ourselves again.
Can't be perfect. You just need to focus on accepting where you're at and doing your best. So.
I drank some cough syrup. Okay. I'm going to blame that. Okay.
Yeah.
Or you're just not perfect, Chip. Okay.
I'm not perfect. perfect. So when they were on our show, they told us that because of the nature of some folks and their disabilities and their abilities to leave the house, and they recommended hiring a sex worker. And yes. I thought that was a genius suggestion. And I don't know if you have anything you want to add to that, but I would love to talk about that aspect. Even if you have no experience with hiring a sex worker, that's out there. And I think it'd be great to just touch on that a little bit from, and even from Amy's perspective, but yours as well, Alex, if you have anything you want to share.
Oh yeah. I think that's fabulous, fabulous advice. Hiring an sex worker, there are also companies that I guess market the idea of, I'm not really sure how to describe it, but sex surrogacy, yeah. which some people say is the same as a sex worker escort. Others,
but there's like a training, different. There's like a training that they're undergoing that's you yes. know, different. Yes,
yeah. absolutely. I mean, a lot of sex workers who I know who are full service do work with many disabled clients, clients with disabilities. And I mean, they wouldn't necessarily work for a sex surrogacy company, but that is a focus of what they're doing a lot of the time is providing that like compassionate touch. And also a lot of sex work, full service or otherwise, is just talking to people, is just providing the human connection. A very small amount of sex work is often even sex, right? So I think that even just being able to hire someone to come and hold you or touch you, if that's something that you don't get in your day-to-day life because of a disability or otherwise, I think that's very valuable. It's just not always accessible because it's not always affordable.
Or in your area too, depending on where you live. Yeah. All of the above. There's the website, I think it's cuddlist.com, where you can hire people to just cuddle you. Mm-hmm. And like, that's, you know, that's all that it is. And people like, you know, we need oxytocin, you know, I can touch myself, but like my body will still crave to have, you know, touch from some outside entity, and, you know, I can snuggle my dog, but like, I still want April to hug me, and I still want to have sex with a partner, or have a partner kiss my whole body, or whatever, or just hold me. Actually, honestly, I just want to be held all the time. Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of people can resonate, whether it's just been a long time, you know, shelter in place, lack of access, where you live, finances, and also just sometimes it's hard for people to find partners. I mean, I've met plenty of people where that's a challenge, and they're not even people who identify as having a disability. I don't think we can legally here say where you can find sex workers. That's, I think it's called pandering, but my partner's a criminal defense attorney told me that, but surrogacy is either a legal or gray area where there is, and I don't know the exact website, but if you go online and look up sexual surrogacy, there is an official website for surrogacy.
I think there's Sensual Solutions is maybe one that's here in Canada, but I'm sure there's so many of them.
They're available. They are out there, and it's
I
really
thought I heard
service.
A Canadian accent.
I know, you too.
I love it. I love a Canadian, all of them. All of you in Canada listening, love you, each and every one of you. And I'm
all
not even joking. I love you so much.
It's a little cold there sometimes, but we love you.
Drake, if you're listening, one of my favorite Canadians. I'm sorry.
Alex first, Drake second. Oh, and then remember when we went to Vancouver and they put blankets on our laps? Oh, that was so sweet. It was so cool though. All right. Anyways, Alex, how can people find you, support your work, go and like all the things that you are offering or have offered in the past? How can they give you their precious dollars to support your work or work with you? What are the modalities that you offer? Yeah. What's on the table?
Well, people just have to walk outside and find a carrier pigeon and just turn around three times and send that up into the air.
That's the best response we've ever had to that question.
Like, you can't. I'm not online at all. My website is just goaskalex.com, and you can find everything through there. But my OnlyFans, for those who want to see my spicier content, is onlyfans.com/goaskalex. That's GOASKALEX. I have to like write it with my finger.
I do that too.
And then on Twitter, Instagram, I'm goaskalex online, because somebody already has the handle Go Ask Alex, and they haven't been active in many years, but I can't get the account. So,
ah, son of a monkey.
That's a great handle though. Go Ask Alex.
I love it.
We talked about Jefferson Airplane and you're like, Go Ask Alex.
Well, and you know why earlier I thought it was Alice is before we were recording. There was, or maybe still is, a website called Ask Alice that was a sex ed thing that I used to look at when I was like 17 to ask sex ed questions. I don't know if it still exists, but that's, I'm just realizing that's what my brain did. But this is Alex, everyone whom we are talking to. So yes, you're awesome. And we'll have all the links in the show notes too. So you can go ahead and look in the notes and click from there.
Get your Canadian on. Oh yeah.
Come on for a rip up to Canada. See some geese, go to Timmy's.
They have that coffee too. What is it called? It's at Timmy's. Is that Timmy's?
Tim Hortons.
Yeah. Timmy Hortons. I've spent
a lot of time. Oh my goodness. Actually, I have to tell you, a friend of mine gave me a bunch of her old lingerie because she's moving back to the UK, and I wash it and then I take it to the shelter where I volunteer. But there's this one costume. It's like a Tim Hortons slutty costume, and it just says on the brim of the hat, Timmy's Ho. And I'm like, it's old and dirty and kind of like ratty. And I just also, I think that saying ho is something that, you know, we're not doing so much anymore as well. So there's a lot of reasons why I don't want to wear it, but at the same time, I'm like, this is a masterpiece.
I think you could wear it.
Yeah, it's a masterpiece.
I think a ho is, it could be a garden tool, and it's an effective garden tool as well.
Or I could be an empowered ho. I'd be like, I'm a fucking ho.
People like Santa, he still says ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, well, that's true. Cancel Santa 2022. I think it's more so to do with it being traditionally a word that was used by Black sex workers, if I'm correctly remembering it. And so that's like the appropriation of it by white sex workers. And that's what I know about the word ho, but we're learning every day.
Seriously, we're learning all the time. When we started this podcast, we were still saying female bodied and male bodied. And then we're like, oh, schnappo. Now we say vulva owner and penis owner. And some people get frustrated.
I mean, I call my mom a dude all the time because I just don't relate dude to being a specific. I'm like, yo, dude, to my mom, to sometimes I call my dog.
Because April's
dude.
A 16-year-old frat boy, basically.
I'm like, yo, dude. And I can't help myself. So I try not to. And I grew up saying you guys for everything. It was like, I'm from Wisconsin. So it's always you guys. And sometimes I do it and I don't even, it's ingrained deep in there. Yeah. And I by no means am ever trying to offend anyone. I want to have everyone feel comfortable and feel like they can be themselves. And I can hopefully, if I called you a hoe, I never did, but Timmy Hoes, that's so cute to me for some reason.
And I will say also that while this is not like a pride episode, this is coming out in Pride Month. So I just think that it's a good topic to just remind ourselves that while we might not be able to get it perfect, to be allies and supporters of other humans where they stand is that we have room to, you know, fuck up. They let us know, you know, this is actually didn't work for me. This is how I want to be referred to or identify or what's important to me. And then we try again, you know, we listen. And as some folks who are more privileged than others or have more abled bodies than others, or, you know, all we can do is to really try to listen and have compassion and respect people for being who they are, because we're all different from each other. I had one other thing I wanted to ask you about. I think it was about hoes, but I don't remember. something about hoes, but anyways, okay. Again, remind us one more time, your website again, and then it'll all be in the show notes, but one more time.
It's goaskalex.com. And across all platforms, OnlyFans and elsewhere, I'm Go Ask Alex, except for Twitter and Instagram, where I'm Go Ask Alex Online.
Thank you so much.
You are just a beautiful human inside and outside. And I am really fortunate that we had this time with you. And I know all of our listeners will appreciate it too. And that rhymed, not intentionally, but sometimes I come out with it. To all of our listeners out there, if you could just take a moment of your day, it takes probably less than 10 seconds. Go on iTunes and Spotify. You can now rate us on Spotify and give us five stars. We've got multiple listens. So give us five stars because that helps people find folks out there doing incredible work like Alex. And it will also show us how much love you have for us, because we absolutely adore each and every one of you from the bottom of my heart. And I know Amy's heart as well. So 5 stars, it's simple. And you can just leave us an emoji if you don't have enough bandwidth or time to give us a long raving review. But we appreciate all of those. Go check out Alex and all of her work. And from here, I have to say farewell, fare thee well, or see you next Tuesday, because that's what I usually say when I'm not high on cough syrup. Okay. All right, y'all. We'll see you next Tuesday. Thank you for being part of the Shameless Sex Revolution. Ciao for now.
Want to learn more? Go to shamelesssex.com. And for 15% off of some of our favorite sex toys, use coupon code ShamelessSex at purepleasureshop.com.